105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, on this fabulously rainy Monday afternoon. So I hope you're settled in with a nice cup of coffee and looking forward to some business chat this afternoon. We've got some fabulous guests on, as always. We've got the wonderful Vicky Thurley, who is the manager of Kent Space, the serviced office and storage specialists in Ashford, Chatham, and also Ebbsfleet. And we've got Emily Taylor, who is the events program manager at Revolution Events for the Kent Construction Expo and also Business Vision Live. So I'm really looking forward to talking to those guys in a little bit of time. But what we're going to do, first of all, I think we're going to play some music, and when we come back, we're going to give a quick roundup of all the local business events that are taking place over the next kind of couple of weeks. There's some really interesting stuff coming up there. So do join us after this, and we'll be straight back.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on the BizConnect radio show on Academy FM. We've got some interesting things coming up over the next couple of weeks, but I wanted to start with some news around sort of Freedom Day. Obviously, a huge disappointment there in terms of the full lifting of COVID restrictions being delayed. I think round about the 19th of July now, Monday the 19th of July is the date that's kind of being forecast there. But there is some positive news, and I wanted to share some news about the Open Championship that's due to take place the week before that, funnily enough, down at Sandwich. The RNA have actually now been granted spectator access, if you like, for the event, and that means that everybody that has a ticket for the Open will actually still be able to go to the Open Championship. So it is an all-ticket affair. They're not selling any more tickets, but if you have got a ticket, you're in, on the proviso that you've had both your COVID jabs, or you can provide a negative lateral flow test result via the NHS app. So there's some information on the gov.uk website in terms of being able to order free lateral flow tests. They'll then be delivered to your home. You take your test, and then basically you use the batch number for the test to upload your test result. So providing you kind of meet those criteria, you should be in, which is great news, because I think in terms of the local economy, obviously in and around Sandwich, Deal in particular, obviously Ramsgate and Thanet as well, I think it's really important that you know, that spectators are able to come and spend money in our local community. So you know, I think that's really exciting that they'll still be able to do that. So some good news there. And also the government are increasingly making noises around this COVID travel passport as well. So I think Europe have now adopted a system whereby providing you've had both your jabs, you will actually be able to travel freely within Europe. And I believe the government are looking at implementing something similar there again through the NHS app. So there's two NHS apps. One is obviously the Test and Trace app. The other one is the NHS app that links to your doctor's surgery in terms of your medical history. So if you've been for a jab, for example, all that information will be visible, you know, via the NHS app that you'll then need to basically present at an airport, for example, if you want to travel. But again, I think that's obviously a very positive move as well in terms of, you know, coming out of lockdown properly and fully, as it were. So some exciting stuff to kind of look forward to there over the summer, obviously, which is great. great. I mean, I'm hoping that the weather will, like I'm sure everybody else is, will buck up again. And actually, a lot of people may prefer to just stay at home this summer rather than kind of go through the, you know, through the rigmarole of having to go through that whole kind of process there. But whatever you decide to do, hopefully there'll be some kind of some choices out there for you, basically. The other thing I wanted to just kind of touch on before we get our first guest on is there's a huge amount of kind of business events going on at the moment. Again, most of them are online, you know, with the delay to Freedom Day. I don't think there's many organizations that are looking to kind of get back to face-to-face kind of business networking, for example, and business events. But there is some really good stuff taking place in the meantime that I wanted to kind of talk to you about today. The first one is turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is reality. So this is a lunch and learn Zoom event taking place tomorrow at 12:30, being run by Paul McCartney and Sally Brady. And this really is for businesses that are either launching, want to grow, or simply want to get better results in the future. So it's a free to attend lunch and learn event, 12:30 tomorrow. There is an Eventbrite booking link. I'm not going to read it out. It's far too long. But if you go on to the supplymobusiness.co.uk website, have a look on the community page. As with all of the events I'm about to read out, you'll find the information there in terms of how to register. Our good friend Terry Botfield, who was on the show, I think about a month ago, has another Marsh Network, this week, and this is targeted very much at businesses in and around, Ashford, Folkestone, New Romney, in that kind of whole catchment and loop, if you like. It's an online networking. It's 10:30, normally ends about 12 o'clock, and first timers can go free. There is a £5 normal meeting fee with a charity donation to Calm within that. But if you are a first timer and you're looking for a new networking event, if you contact Terry at botfield.net, he would love to welcome you along as his guest free of charge for the first one. But again, all the booking information on that is on the Supply My Business community page, or just go to marshnetwork.co.uk and you'll find all of the information for all of Terry's future networking events on there. Startup businesses are very, very popular at the moment. Lots and lots of people looking to set up a business, you know, on the back of the COVID pandemic, perhaps want to take more control of their career path moving forwards, and looking to go into business. There's some fantastic startup business support out there, and one of the organisations that's providing that is the Let's Do Business Group. Again, they're a fairly regular kind of guest on the show. They've got two programmes coming up which you need to apply for by the 23rd of June, so that's this Wednesday. The first one is Her Biz. So obviously targeted very much at budding female entrepreneurs, and this is a free business startup workshop program taking place in July. And within the program, it's a series of workshops. It's 4 2.5-hour workshops, and I think they run from about 12 to 10 to 12:30 each time. But it'll look at things like clarifying your business idea, researching your target market, understanding the numbers that are going to drive your business in terms of, obviously, crucially, sales, profitability, you know, overheads and cash flow, crucially, that Paul's going to be touching on tomorrow. And really kind of developing a business model and a business plan on the back of that. It will also talk about things like, you know, should I be self-employed? Would I be better off being a limited company? What are the kind of advantages of both? What are the kind of the tax implications of both? What do I need to get in terms of business insurance? So really it is a pretty comprehensive program of workshops. There's also a £500 prize towards the startup costs for the winner with the best business plan ultimately. So it's, if you are thinking about going into business for the first time, it's really important to do all this kind of groundwork initially, so that you have the best chance of success ultimately. Let's Do Business Group are also a delivery partner for the Startup Loans program. So if you needed finance to get your business off the ground, having gone through this process, you'd be in a pretty good place to then be able to apply for a startup business loan as well. And they're typically up to the value of about £10,000 is the norm, but they can be as high as £20,000 plus. So get yourselves registered for that. Again, all of the information is on the community page of Supply My Business. Or you can obviously just Google Let's Do Business Group and find out more information there. They also have another program, another startup workshop program, which follows a very, very similar format to HerBiz, specifically for businesses in East Sussex. And this is called Ready for Business. And also, again, as I said, following a very similar theme in terms of, you know, creating ultimately a business plan that's going to prepare you, and your business to give you the best chance of success. Again, it's a series of 2.5 hour, online workshops via Zoom, from 10 a.m. to 12:30. I think the first one actually starts on the 30th of June. So, it's a week on Wednesday. And you need to apply by this Wednesday in order to be enrolled in this program. It is, as I said, specifically for businesses in the qualifying areas of Hastings, Bexhill, St. Leonard's-on-Sea, Hollington, Orr and Sidley. So it's very kind of East Sussex focused. But again, all of the information on the community page of Supply My Business or on the Let's Do Business Group website. One more event coming up that I just wanted to talk about quickly. Another good friend of the show, Bruce Kidd from Oasis, that's Operational Accounting Systems. They have another Future of Stock Management workshop taking place, or introductory session, I should say, on Friday the 9th of July. And this is 40 minutes in total. And it will really give you, if you're a business that that deals in a lot of inventory and stock, for example, it'll give you a really good insight into the latest kind of software that's available through Easy Stock, who are one of Bruce's partners in the marketplace, to help kind of facilitate a more productive kind of stock ordering and management system within your business. So you might be a hospitality business, for example, that struggles with that. This is a free session to help you understand the benefits of automation and kind of the latest software in that space. Again, all of the information on the community page of supplymobusiness.co.uk, or you can Google Oasis, that's Operational Accounting Systems, and they also have an events page on their website. Just to finish now on some green events that are coming up. We work very closely with another platform that we run called Green Business Hub .eco. We work very closely with Kent County Council here and an organisation called Clean Grow South East, and they're rolling out a number of events focused in and around the whole kind of renewable sector over the next few weeks. And I think this is certainly a business sector and an industry that's really set to kind of boom and really kind of take off over the next few years. If you look at what the government are saying about, you know, the building of new homes, for example, after 2025, you know, they're effectively saying that they won't be able to be heated through a traditional, you know, gas-fired boiler and central heating system, for example. So the move to renewables is going to happen incredibly quickly now. And I think that represents massive opportunities for, you know, people like plumbers, for example, who might want to kind of diversify into heat pump installations, air source, ground source heat pumps, for example, you know, but also electricians. I think, you know, solar PV, for example, is far and away the most adopted kind of renewable energy solution currently in the UK and becoming increasingly popular. So again, you know, electricians, you know, might want to kind of think think about how they can kind of diversify into that space and get themselves MCS accredited, for example, in order to kind of be able to deliver these kind of retrofit solutions and also new build solutions moving forward. So it's a very dynamic space, very exciting space to be in. On the 24th of June, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, Clean Grow Southeast are running an introduction to the offshore wind sector and the key opportunities it offers to the supply chain in the east and southeast of England. So that's an exciting one. If you're interested in, you know, wind as a renewable solution, I would suggest you, you register for that event. And again, as with Supply Mode Business, we have a community page for Green Business Hub. So the website is greenbusinesshub.eco. And again, you'll find all of the registration details for that free event on that community page. On the 29th, that's Tuesday the 29th of June, again, 2 to 4pm, they're running a solar power supply chain opportunities event, again, in a similar vein. So if you are perhaps, you know, an electrician, looking to kind of diversify more into kind of into the renewable sector, this will give you an overview of the opportunities that exist for you as a business to do that, and to get involved in everything that's kind of going on in the southeast of England. So again, a very, very exciting event, you know, potentially in terms of, you know, opening your eyes to the opportunities that, that exist to kind of grow your business, you know, using solar PV solutions. So that's Tuesday, June the 29th, 2 to 4pm. And again, if you have a look on the community page of greenbusinesshub.eco, you'll find all of the registration details for that. On the 1st of July, there is another event that Clean Grow Southeast are running, and this is called Opportunities in Onshore Wind and Battery Storage. So, you know, obviously battery storage, being able to kind of store energy that isn't kind of being used immediately, is going to be key moving forwards. And we're already seeing that with domestic homes, for example, and Tesla, you know, wall, battery kind of pack solutions and storage solutions. So again, very exciting opportunity, to get involved early doors, you know, with this very much as a kind of growth sector, in the southeast. This particular event is taking place on Thursday, the 1st of July, as I said, from 2 to 4pm. And again, you can register for that free event on the community page of Green Business Hub. And finally, two other things I just wanted to make you aware of. If you are looking to green your business, or in invest in green technology, it could be something as simple as, you know, changing strip lighting in a warehouse or a factory to an LED solution. It might be, you know, the development of a much more sustainable, green product or solution. There is grant funding available for that under the Low Carbon Across the Southeast Grant Programme, and that's up to £10,000 of match funding. So that's on the basis of 40% grant contribution and 60% contribution from the business. So I think you'd need to be spending £25,000 to get the full £10,000 you know, grant eligibility there. So registration for that is very much open. So Locase are taking new inquiries for that at the moment. You can search for Locase on Google, or again, you'll find all of that information on the Green Business Hub community page. And one other green initiative that's happening at the moment is called Kent Revs. You might, again, you might be a local plumber or an electrical contractor, for example, doing mainly local mileage. And what KCC are doing at the moment is they're offering you the opportunity to try a free electric van for 2 months. I've actually got one myself. I've been using for a couple of months, and it's brilliant, I have to say, you know, for local mileage. They even have a promotion running alongside this with an Ashford-based electrical contractors called Eco Electrical Contractors. who will come and install a charger for you that they will lend you for the duration of your electric van trial. So you don't even need to worry about the infrastructure in terms of how you're going to charge it. It's a 2-month trial. They've got a range of vehicles. They've got Renault Zoes, they've got Kangoos, so yeah, what's not to like? Again, you can find out all the information about that on the community page of Green Business Hub and bag yourself a free van and drive it around for a couple of months. Right, well, that was a whistle-stop tour of everything that's kind of going on event-wise. I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music and then we will get our first guest on, and that's going to be Vicky Thurley from Kent Space. So do join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. I'm delighted to say that we've now got our first guest on the line, and that is Vicky Thurley from Kent Space. Vicky, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Martin. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to have you with us. I know you've squirreled yourself away in one of the Kent Space offices to talk to us today. So thanks for that. Vicky, just give us a brief introduction to Kent Space, where you guys are, what you do, and your new role as a sort of a group manager within the business.
So Kent Space are made up of three facilities. We've got branches in Ashford, Lordswood and Ebbsfleet being the newest one. I've been the Ashford branch manager for coming up for 4 years now, and that's recently changed. I'm sort of overseeing the three branches instead, which is sad circumstances, which I know we're going to discuss a bit later on.
Yeah.
But it is an exciting opportunity. It's nice to get my teeth into that. And all three branches, our model as such is storage space, which is for domestic and business users, and then office space, which is on a short-term rental basis. So we're not a lease, we are very flexible, mm-hmm. and we also offer meeting rooms and mailboxes and lots of other little services that go mm-hmm. alongside that as well.
Mm-hmm. And co-working, I guess, is an increasing sort of part of that.
Yes. So co-working is obviously, I think, something that everyone is looking into more now than ever, for flexible working space. It's an opportunity for people to sort of dip their toe back into the office world, but without committing fully to a private office.
Yes, good idea. So just give us a flavour for the types of customers that you work with on a sort of business office level. What do they, you know, what do they look like? What kind of business do they have? And also on a storage level, because I guess you've got a mixture of individuals, consumers, domestic customers that need some storage. But I guess you have businesses using your storage facilities as well.
So storage it is a mixed bag. So you've got the normal domestic users that are moving house, and at the moment that is, the market is so strong at the moment. We're seeing numbers that we've not seen ever, and that's due to COVID and stamp duty holiday and that sort of thing. We have a number of office clients who also have storage with us, so they use that for PPE and their stock, and some archiving as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're lots of long-term storage in that regard, whereas domestic tends to be quite short-term. And then on the office side of things, we've got a real mixed bag of businesses. So here at Ashford, we've got a physiotherapist. So his clients come to the room to have their physio done. Mm-hmm. We've got recruitment, marketing. We've got at Chatham, we've got sort of more medical-based companies as well. Mm-hmm. Ebbsfleet, we've got a security company. So it is a real mixed bag of businesses that use it as a branch.
Fantastic.
And as a base, yeah. Mm.
So just tell us, I mean, how have you guys, you know, been affected by lockdown? I guess, you know, lockdown initially for everybody really meant lockdown, and I guess you were no exception. You probably closed your sites, did you, during the first lockdown?
Yes, yeah, exactly. We were no exception. So we closed reception and all the staff moved home to work from home, which was obviously took some getting used to for a lot of people. And the branch managers were really the only ones that were popping in. The maintenance guy stayed on site to keep everything ticking over from a maintenance point of view and cleanliness point of view. But the managers were just popping in just to check the post and, you know, just to make sure everything was okay. And we very much had to adapt to a way of virtual viewings for storage, which was quite interesting. So instead of encouraging people to visit like we normally would, which you couldn't do then, it was a case of, you know, I'd wander around with my phone and show someone virtually what a garage size storage space would look like. And that actually worked really well, and we still got quite a lot of reservations from that.
So people were still able to effectively move in on a storage level even during lockdown.
Obviously for people that were moving house, things didn't necessarily come to a grinding halt completely, so you still had a bit of an overflow of people needing storage. So what we did with that was we came in and did the paperwork, and instead of greeting the person here, we left the paperwork in the unit and then gave them instructions on how to get there. So they were guided by us, again, virtually and remotely. But it worked really well, so we know that we can do it, which is good.
So I guess you can, you know, again, you know, there's been so much learning for businesses, hasn't there, under lockdown. I guess that's something you can carry forward, isn't it? I mean, you can post videos on your website, for example, that enable people to see the different sizes of space that's available and then perhaps pick up the phone and have a conversation with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the time people that haven't used storage before don't quite understand what the square footage is. So it's normally a really good idea to have a conversation with us to discuss what you're looking to store, and then we go from there, really give you a bit of an idea of what you might need.
That's a good point, because it's, you know, everyone talks in sort of square metres. I guess you talk in square metres, do you, as well, when it comes to storage?
We're square foot. You get various sizes on the phone.
But it's hard to sort of convert all of that. It's hard to sort of visualize that, isn't it? I guess for a lot of people it's like, well, what does that actually mean? And I guess if you're standing in a storage space and saying, look what I can do, I can swing a broom, or I can I can move my arms around, you can make it quite good fun and just kind of bring it to life a bit, can't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic, good. So then I guess you move to more of a kind of a hybrid situation after that, as businesses started to sort of, certainly from last summer onwards, you know, businesses started to kind of go back to work. And did you see, you know, all of your customers kind of flooding back to the office, or did it take time for that to, you know, to happen again?
It definitely took time. I would say that now it's still not quite 100%. It's much more so than it was last summer. But I think there were a number of offices, particularly at Ashford, where you've got maybe a head office that are looking after that particular branch. So, you know, from a health and safety and risk assessment point of view, they were obviously very wary that if it's a large office, things have to be implemented. And that's something we help with in terms of screens between employees and that type of thing. So there was a lot to do before people could return to the office safely. And we made a lot of changes in the communal areas and reception to make sure that people were doing certain things when they entered the building. And a lot of people are still, I think, half and half at the moment. You know, if they can work from home a couple of days, then they will. But on the other side of the coin, I've had a couple of clients in the last month say, you know, especially with the hot weather, they'd much prefer to be in an aircon office rather than sitting at home, you know, melting as such.
It's incredible, isn't it, the lengths that, you know, businesses like you have had to go to in order to kind of demonstrate that you can be COVID safe. I remember when the screens went up at Ashford, and unfortunately you had to squirrel all your boxes of biscuits away, your communal sort of tea and coffee and biscuits and everything, that all kind of had to go. But you know, I guess, you know, businesses had to adapt, and it's amazing, isn't it, how resilient businesses have been on that level, I think, you know, and how quickly you guys were able to say, okay, you know, we've got a solution, and you know, we can kind of stay open for business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's across the board for all three branches. We've managed really well. A couple of other different things that the other branches is a one-way system's been put in place. So if you come in the building through reception, then you go out a different door when you leave. So there's a couple of different things all over the place, but it really works.
And this kind of delaying of Freedom Day, as it's called, we're looking at sort of possibly Monday the 19th of July now. Has that sort of, you know, has that... Do you think that's going to have an adverse effect on your business, or, you know, are you just kind of prepared to spend the next 4 weeks, you know, working as you have been, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. The storage side of things is not letting up. That is, if anything, getting stronger. We're about 90% occupied at Ashford at the moment, so we're really struggling to find space for people. It is such a big churn, but once you've got someone moving out, you're immediately moving someone back in. On the office side of things, I think people are still waiting for that green light as such to come back, you know, full time, and I think everyone is just waiting for those restrictions to lift to enable them to come back to the office and feel 100% safe and everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's something I'm hearing a lot, actually. People aren't, you know, until we fully lift restrictions, I think, businesses across the board are going to be reluctant to kind of ask staff to come back full time, if at all. And that's something I wanted to ask you about. You know, are you starting to see a demand for smaller office space, perhaps from larger clients that are needing a sort of a local satellite office? Are clients, do you think, downsizing? What's the dynamic? What kind of feel are you getting? A business is moving out of London, for example, and saying, actually, you know, what we really need now is a kind of a more regional kind of satellite office and less, less of a kind of presence in the city, as it were.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a couple of clients here at Ashford that have taken space, looking for a more, you know, as you say, a regional office. Internally, we've had a couple of clients downsize, but Chatham, we've had the opposite. We've had a client who had two offices and, you know, gave up one during the lockdown period, and now they've taken it back up again. Obviously, they just needed to wait and see what happened with their business during that time. We're really seeing development, and I would say the small offices are definitely more in demand than the large at the moment.
Yeah. That's interesting, and I guess you've got the flexibility, haven't you, to kind of, if you need to, you can adapt your office space, you can move internal walls around, and you can kind of carve it up as you need to, I guess.
Yeah, and that works on the co-working front as well. You know, I appreciate some people are still a little bit wary of sharing space with others, so at the moment, you know, if there's a few co-workers that want to just be separated, that's absolutely fine. We can do that at the moment, so that's also a plus.
Yeah, fantastic, good. Well, Vicky, I think what we'll do now is we're going to play a little bit of music, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the specifics in terms of what you guys offer. I know you've got some fabulous offers out there at the moment, but also, you know, kind of what's included when you, become part of the family at Kent Space. And I know you've got some fantastic benefits there as well. So stay with us if you can. And we'll play a little bit of music, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for staying with the BizConnect radio show today. I'm delighted that we've got Vicky Thurley on the telephone, who is the group manager now, I think it's fair to say, at Kent Space. Vicky, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you, Martin.
Vicky, before the break, we were talking about some of the kind of the trends that we're seeing in the office space environment at the moment, with larger firms perhaps opening up a satellite office and the move to kind of smaller office spaces as more people are sort of home working. I want to hone in now, if we can, on a little bit on Ebbsfleet, because I know you've been doing quite a lot of expansion work there. So just tell us what's been going on at your Ebbsfleet site.
Yeah, so we've had 22 new offices built at Ebbsfleet. So the building itself obviously was already standing, so it was just an internal development. And we've put more rooms in, which range from 1 to 15 person offices. And a few of those are already, you know, taken up, and people have moved in, so they're ready to go now.
Wow. So how have you kind of created, you know, another 21 offices? I mean, have you gone up a floor, or how have you actually kind of created the space to do that?
So the space was already there. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the building, it was just an open room, basically.
Right.
And then obviously the contractors have come in and split that room into various square foot sizes. So it was just a case of developing an area that was already within the building.
Fantastic, good. And I know there's an awful lot of kind of construction expansion kind of scheduled to go on in and around Ebbsfleet, isn't there? I mean, it's the new Ebbsfleet is a sort of a new garden city in its own right, I believe, isn't it? But then we've also got things like the whole theme park development that's still kind of scheduled to go ahead. You know, we've got the kind of Lower Thames Crossing that's going to be happening at some point. So that kind of, that area of sort of North Kent, it really is kind of happening, isn't it? And buzzing at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And I think one of the key things for the Ebbsfleet branch is obviously the connections that it has via the fast high-speed train link. Yeah. And the same for Ashford as well, really. The fact that link is there and people are coming out of London, that's a massive plus for us.
Yeah, fantastic. So really good location to be in. So tell us, what kind of moving in offers have you got for businesses that are interested in space up at Ebbsfleet at the moment?
So if you're looking to move in, obviously we haven't got much of June left, but during June and July, we're offering a discount on the first 12 months rental, which is 30% off the first 3 months and 30% off the last 3 months of the 12-month period for anyone that joins in June or July.
Right. So so you'd need to kind of commit to a 12-month contract effectively in order to get that that 30% offer. So you've topped and kind of tailed it, as it were, which is fantastic. And as you said, you cater from sort of one person up to, what would you say would be the kind of maximum office size be?
About 15 people, I would say.
Fantastic, good. And just remind us what's actually included when you move into Kent Space, because apart from the fact that you've got a brilliant moving in offer, there's an awful lot of kind of value add that you guys kind of throw into the mix as well. So just tell us what I get as a tenant at Kent Space.
So all of the branches are 24-hour accessible, so we set you up with a fob that gets you in and out any time of day. You've got, obviously, electricity, water and business rates, that's all included as a serviced office, and you've got cleaning. So we've got an individual cleaner at all three branches that will be there to keep your office spick and span, and furnishings as well. That's obviously a big cost for some people when they go into a property that's not furnished. So you get your desk, your chair, pedestal, and we've got some other bits that can be hired out in terms of storage for the office as well.
And obviously things like heat and electric are all included, but I guess when it comes to things like broadband, that's down to an individual business in terms of what their requirements are, is that right?
Yes, broadband is additional as our phones, but obviously that's a conversation that we have with people in terms of their requirements, so it might be something they need or not need.
Yeah, absolutely, good. And I guess, you know, for me, the one thing that strikes me whenever I sort of visit you guys at Kent Space is there's always someone on reception.
Yes, that is a big thing for us.
Yeah, and a lot of places you go to, you're kind of, you're left kind of, you know, ringing numbers to kind of get in the door and, you can actually be kind of standing there for quite some time before somebody even knows you're sort of in the building, can't you, which can be quite frustrating for people.
I think it's nice that there's someone on reception to greet them, you know, ask them to take a seat, and then we let the client know that they're there. So it's a really good service to have someone greeting your visitors if you're not available at the time.
Yeah, and you've got meeting rooms as well, obviously, that that clients can kind of use and book, which is great.
They're open to external people as well, so that's another brilliant thing.
Right, so if I'm a business that isn't necessarily a resident, I can make a phone call and say, would you have a meeting room available next Thursday at 12 o'clock?
And I can hire that. We'll check the calendar.
Brilliant, good. Okay, I mean, the other thing I wanted to talk about was obviously car parking. Because again, that's always, whenever I visit an industrial estate, for example, there always seems to be particularly with kind of smaller units on industrial estates, there always seems to be a kind of premium on car parking. But again, that's something that you've got plenty of.
Yes, yeah. So all three branches have visitor parking, but on a client basis, everyone gets one designated bay, and then we do have various other spare bays. So if you're, you know, a one-person office, then you know you've definitely got a parking space. And if you're slightly larger, you know, one person who's maybe there all day will park in that space, and then we'll provide spaces for others.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know you're rolling out electric charge points as well, which is great.
Yeah, so we've got Ashford and Ebbsfleet with charging points, and I think we're looking at potentially a third one, probably towards Ebbsfleet, I would think.
Yeah.
Just because we've got a bit more activity up there in terms of electric cars.
Yeah, and I think that's worth making the point, because I think, you know, again, the impression you get when you come to a Kent Space site is that you are very much, you know, state of the art. It's very clean, very modern, very well maintained, you know, premises. You know, the walls don't need painting, the carpet is immaculate, you know, the reception is well manned. Everything is just as you would expect, you know, in a larger business, if you like, in a perhaps a more traditional kind of corporate environment, which I think is really important in terms of first impressions, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And the maintenance guys all work so hard to keep the building, you know, ticking over and looking as lovely as they do.
Yeah.
And Chatham is the oldest, and yet it still looks, you know, you walk in and you still feel like it's a professional looking, amazing, aesthetically pleasing building.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I concur. Brilliant. Good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Ashford now, because I know you've got some, a little bit of vacant office space as well there. Tell us what you've got on offer at Ashford at the moment.
So at Ashford, we've got a couple of little offices, but I would say more so the four-person up region. So if you're looking for, say, as we were discussing earlier, to downsize from a large office where you've been tied into a lease, then we offer that flexibility to come into an office and then upsize or downsize. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got quite a lot of scope at the moment to be able to do that.
Brilliant. Okay, so just to kind of reinforce that, I mean, it's completely flexible. You know, you're not tied into any kind of contract. It's done on a sort of month by month basis, according to your kind of needs as your business kind of evolves ultimately.
Yeah, so the license agreement that we give people is a 6 month license, but we only need 1 month's termination notice.
Right.
So in that regard, you know, your invoices come along monthly, and you know, we have a chat if you need to make arrangements to move out, downsize, upsize, whatever you need.
Fantastic. So what is the best way to get in touch with you guys, whether it's kind of for storage, whether it's as a kind of an office space inquiry? Is it best to kind of go via the website and inquire there?
Yes, our website has all our contact details on. I would say obviously a phone call is probably the easiest way, but we do have inquiry forms on the website, which will give you an immediate cost for specific sizes on storage and offices.
And that is, just give us a shout out for the website URL.
That is www.kentspace.co.uk.
Kentspace.co.uk. Brilliant. Fantastic. Great. Well, I think what we need to do now is we just need to say a few words about someone that was very close to us all, Sue McGowan, who we very sadly lost to cancer at the beginning of the year. And I know Sue was a huge inspiration, not just for you, and you know, very much a kind of an integral part of the Kent Space operation, but for everybody who knew her. So I know you'd like to sort of just say a few words, just to sort of say farewell to Sue, Vicky.
Yeah, she was an amazing manager. I'm trying not to well up now, but she held us all together, and she was such a huge part of Kent Space. She grew from assistant manager to director, and she was passionate about everything she did. And she was huge in the networking world, as you know. So many people knew her.
Yes.
And she was quite often the last one chatting away at our networking events. Forward handed was with a sausage roll in hand. So, yeah, she's a face that will be missed. And you know, her laugh, her smile, everything about her.
Yeah, she was a very inspirational lady, and you know, very, very kind of positive outlook on life, and you know, nothing was impossible. But she always had time for people as well, which was very endearing quality that Sue had. So we do miss you, Sue, and rest in peace. But Vicky, for now, I think what we'll do is we'll say goodbye. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you, and great to hear that Kent Space are going from strength to strength, not just at Ebbsfleet, but across all your kind of site operations. It really is a testament to the way you guys run the business, I think, and the quality of the service that you provide in the marketplace. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best in your kind of new role as well.
Thank you very much.
Going forward. So, and hopefully, as you say, we can get back to some kind of face-to-face networking at Ashford and Ebbsfleet and Chatham very soon as well. So,
fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay, Vicky, thanks so much for joining us.
And we'll
catch up with you again soon.
Lovely. Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Vicky. Bye-bye.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back to the BizConnect radio show, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with us today. Delighted to say that in the second part of the show, we've actually got another guest on the line, and that is Emily Taylor from Revolution Events. Emily, lovely to have you with us today.
Hello. Oh, it's so lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to be able to talk to you. I mean, I haven't seen you face to face probably since, crikey, I don't know. When was the last Business Vision Live Expo that you guys ran?
Oh, that was 2019, believe it or not, which is crazy, isn't it?
2019.
But we used to meet up at various networking events as well, didn't we? And they've unfortunately, not been live. So it has been a while.
It's been far too long. But I'm delighted that you're with us today to tell us about all the exciting news in terms of the events industry that we've kind of got to look forward to. But just by way of a kind of an introduction, tell us a little bit about Revolution Events, who you work for, what you guys kind of do. It's not just kind of big expos, obviously. There's more to it than that. And your specific kind of role and responsibilities as an event manager for Business Vision Live and Kent Construction Expo.
Sure. So Revolution Events. So the company's been going since 99. And so we design and deliver high impact business events. So that can be anything from conferences, exhibitions, awards dues, roadshows, roundtables, and some international events. Mm. We're just a small team. There's only 12 of us. Our office is a converted barn in Pembrey, which is lovely because it's surrounded by fields and woodland and animals and stuff. So a lovely environment to work in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the event manager. So my role primarily is sales and client liaison. So I do the exhibition stands and sponsorship for companies who want to get involved in our event.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also work with the marketing and operations department to sort of oversee the general planning and production of the event. So, and then on a build-up day, we're on site helping everyone set up their stands and checking everyone's happy and has everything they need.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And traditionally, those two events that you mentioned, I guess, have been run at the county showground at Detling, is that right?
That's the Kent Event Centre, which is Detling, as you say, just on a Maidstone.
Fantastic, good. Well, I think it's fair to say, along with sort of hospitality, the events industry has been particularly hard hit by lockdown. So just tell us, what's your experience of that been on a kind of personal as well as a sort of company level, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, what a challenging time it's been for everyone.
Mm.
So we, like everyone else, started working from home. Quite exciting at first, a new experience. I hadn't really worked from home before, so it was, to go out to Argos and grab a table and an office chair to set up my temporary office from home.
Yeah.
But, as a company, we got to grips with using Microsoft Teams pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And we would use that for regular catch-ups, a few client meetings that way.
Mm-hmm.
From an events point of view, so some of our regional education shows we actually converted into virtual events.
Mm.
So that was a whole new experience for everyone involved. We had to learn the software really quickly. But it went really, really well, considering we didn't have a lot of time to, like I say, learn this brand new way of doing events.
Mm-hmm.
And, the delegates and exhibitors were very patient with us. They were on board. They were full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was great that we could still put the event on, but adapt to the circumstances we were all under.
Yeah. And was that the client that wanted you to kind of continue to, you know, to run their event for them? Or did you have to kind of, you know, nudge them along, actually there's another option, we could kind of make it work this way? I mean, what was the kind of the, you know, what was the kind of the client kind of perception of going from a physical event to a sort of an online event?
I think it was a bit of both, really, of the two options you just said. I mean, obviously, because these events are annual. So, you know, coming up to the virtual education show, the regional education show. So it's coming up and, you know, we've got all these exhibitors on board, excited. We've got all the delegates registered to attend. So you've got all the fundamentals of a great event. But government restrictions were in place. So, you know, we couldn't physically meet up on site and have, you know, quote unquote, a normal event.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a case of, you know, we've got all these people interested, we've got everything ready for a great event, let's adapt it to virtual. Obviously, you know, a lot of companies are doing the same. Virtual was obviously really popular at the time because it meant you could still network and connect with people. It was just a slightly different environment.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't go that route with Business Vision Live, for example. Is that because it's much more of an event that's all about engagement, kind of one-on-one with people on the day, because of the nature of it as an expo, as a kind of an exhibition, with people kind of having stands? Does it need that kind of physical face-to-face interaction?
Yeah, I'd say so. So with Business Vision Live and the Kent Construction Expo, you know, they're both pretty huge events at the Kent Event Centre. So We decided to, instead of convert those ones to virtual events, we unfortunately had to postpone them. So, like I said before, the exhibitors and delegates and all of our key stakeholders were so patient with us. It took a real team effort. You know, the communication had to be key to keep everyone in the loop, especially as we've had to change the dates of these two events a couple of times. So, we worked with the key stakeholders and just decided the best plan moving forward. Because obviously, meeting on site was the best scenario for everyone involved, you know, especially the exhibitors who put so much time, effort and money invested in stands. It would be a shame not to be able to use that to generate leads and work on the day. Obviously, safety is our number one priority for everyone involved. And obviously, with the government restrictions, it wasn't able to happen. So we decided just to put it in there instead and put all of our efforts into virtual events at the time.
I guess if it's a very sort of presentation driven event, you know, that's much more easier or much more easily facilitated online, if you like, through a Zoom or a Teams. But, you know, as you say, where the focus is actually on exhibitor space, you know, and those exhibitors wanting to kind of engage and interact with their prospects, you know, it's very difficult to replicate that online, I guess, ultimately, isn't it?
Totally. And especially the construction show, you know, a lot of exhibitors will bring along machinery and they'll do demos and all that sort of, you know, real sort of eye-opening things for delegates to look at on the day. That's where the construction show really, really benefits from the face-to-face event aspects.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we boys love their toys, don't they? So,
absolutely.
There's nothing like a giant tractor or a crane or something to get us men excited.
Exactly.
Fabulous. No, good. I mean, it must have been incredibly frustrating for you. I mean, I remember looking at Business Vision Live and, you know, I think initially you were sort of, you know, throwing the net out for a few months, maybe 3 or 4 months down the line, you know, let's postpone it until then. And then, you know, I guess events just kind of overtook us all. And, you know, when we realized we were going to be in lockdown, you know, for the kind of foreseeable future, I guess it made sense for you guys to say, okay, let's just forget this year. You know, let's actually target, you know, 2022 for Business Vision Live. Let's come back strong in May of that year.
Exactly. You know, and there's positives to that in that we've had so much time to do marketing for these companies that have been involved in Business Vision Live for so long. You know, and it's given them a chance to have even longer to plan what their stand will look like and what their sort of overall sales objective will be on the day. So with Business Vision Live, that's now in May 2022, and a construction expo is going to be this October, which is very exciting.
It's hard, you know, when you think about that. I mean, that will be 3 years since the last Business Vision Live, won't it?
I know, it's crazy. We just can't wait to get back on site, see everyone again.
But I mean, to think that 3 years will have just gone by. it's quite scary, really. So where are we now? Where do we kind of, you know, what does the events industry look like at the moment? Is it getting back on its feet? I mean, you've obviously got Construction Expo coming up in October, is it, I believe?
That's it, yeah, October 7th.
So you guys are obviously planning for a sort of a proper return. What are you kind of seeing in the marketplace? What's your kind of feeling for what's going on out there? You know, was the kind of the postponement of Freedom Day, was that a big kind of knock for the events industry, for example, Emily?
I mean, overall, I'd say the feedback has been really positive. Mm. The construction industry itself never really stopped or slowed down during all of this. Mm. So the feedback I'm getting from my exhibitors is that they are just really keen to get back on site and get back to quote-unquote normal again.
Mm.
Because it is all about that, you know, face-to-face networking, client liaison, meetings, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think some companies, understandably, are perhaps a bit more reserved, you know, because due to, you know, company size, it might be a small team, there might be personal circumstances, health conditions and stuff, and I totally understand, you know, why they might be a bit more reserved, might want to wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the positive rollout of the vaccination has been really beneficial to the events industry as well. I think it gives people more hope and more sort of security in a way that, you know, we can get back to events. I mean, I was at the South of England show last weekend, and it was really busy. It was really, really good. It was really good to sort of feel part of a large outdoor event again.
Mm-hmm. Where was that held?
That was in Ardingly.
Uh-huh, okay. And what sort of restrictions were in place there? Did people have to sort of still wear masks? Did you have to have a sort of a negative test result to be able to go to the event? What was kind of in place?
I feel like that event was pretty relaxed. So you had to wear a mask when you went indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So South of England show, you know, there's lots of like animals and things like that.
Yeah.
There. So when you went indoors, you were encouraged to wear a mask. But outside, walking around the other exhibition stands and stuff, there weren't masks.
Right.
Social distancing, well, I mean, it was busy, so it was quite hard to social distance. Mm. But the general feel was great. Everyone was having a great time, and it was a lovely sunny day. We were outside, so it felt really nice to sort of feel a bit more back to normal.
Fantastic. So there is that kind of sense that, you know, people are gradually getting back to some kind of normality. I mean, the fact that, you know, a big event like that was still, you know, was still running, I think is kind of testament to that, isn't it? So
yeah,
it kind of bodes well for the future, really, doesn't it? Which is great. It's good to hear.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I think what we'll do is we're going to play a little bit of music, Emily, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how you see the future of events and whether or not that might be more of a kind of a hybrid model moving forwards, and the kind of the learnings that you guys have taken from lockdown. I know you've got some sort of client survey information as well that you want to share with us, and then we'll talk specifically about Kent Construction Expo and Business Vision Live and how businesses can kind of get involved with those events as well. So still a bit to talk about, which is great, and we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, for the final part of the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White. I'm delighted that we've got Emily Taylor on the line, who is the events manager for Kent Construction Expo and also Business Vision Live for Revolution Events. Emily, lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you so much again for having me. Having a great time.
Great to have you on the show today. Emily, before the break, we were talking about the fact that the events industry is very much getting back on its feet now. We've got the South of England show that's just taken place that you've been to. You guys have got Kent Construction Expo coming up in October. I was just wondering what your guys' kind of view of the future of events is, and whether or not we see this as more of a kind of a hybrid model moving forwards that people can kind of participate in, you know, perhaps online as well as kind of physically. How do you see things kind of developing from here?
I mean, it's hard to tell at the moment, because the government restrictions keep changing. But obviously, as an event company, we are feeling super positive about it. There's pros and cons to virtual events. Obviously, virtual has become more and more popular. There's no travel. Numbers aren't always restricted, you know, with space. You can multitask at the same time. So if you are joining in on a virtual event, you can also keep an eye on your email. So there's that productivity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, you can share a screen. It's literally all in front of you. You haven't got to, you know, go from one room to the other, etc. But the kind of negatives of virtual and why we're sort of flying the face-to-face flag is that it's not that social side. You can't just go and grab a coffee with someone.
Mm.
You can't do that face-to-face networking. And then you've obviously got things like your internet connection. You know, depending on where you live, you might not get the best signal to join in on these virtual events.
Yeah.
And then the multitasking could also be a distraction. So if you are keeping an eye on your emails, are you paying some attention to the session that's going on?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like I mentioned earlier, exhibition stands. You know, companies put so much time, money and effort into making these amazing stands, promoting all their products and services. And although you can really cleverly have a virtual exhibition booth, it's not quite the same as having, you know, seeing one in person and meeting staff and talking to them, you know, about their company and stuff. So, like I said, it's hard to tell now, but I do feel that events are definitely still going to be there. You know, they're never going to go away.
Mm.
And I think it's making people embrace and appreciate being on site again, you know, getting out of the office, socializing and making a real day of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I would echo that, and I'm sure everybody's really looking forward to, you know, as you say, to just kind of meeting people again in that kind of environment. So I know you've done a survey as well recently, you know, with your clients to see how they've been affected, and also their thoughts about live events. Have you got some kind of findings that you can share with us on that?
I've got a few that I just thought your listeners might find interesting. So my colleague Deborah Ward-Johnson, so she's the event director for the Education People Show, which is also at the Kent Event Centre. It's November on the 11th. And that's a huge exhibition for everyone in the education industry, basically, to get together, meet with head teachers, bursars. That's 11th November, like I said. So the survey findings we found, so we asked people what their main reason for exhibiting is. And the top three answers were to meet new clients, to raise profile and brand, and for lead collection. So if anyone's thinking, you know, why attend one of these events, that tends to be the most popular reason why people book an exhibition stand. So that they were likely to book autumn events with the current restrictions. And the next popular answer was very likely to. So that gives us a lot of confidence that people are still looking to attend these, our autumn events. 7% people said they're planning to attend events in 2021 that they hadn't previously planned on going to, which is great. That's a lot of new business coming to the events. You know, people who might not necessarily have had this in the diary, they're looking at actually going to these events, which is good. We asked if they prefer physical or virtual events, and obviously I'm quite happy to say that 47% said physical, and 14% said virtual. So virtual is creeping up there, but I think physical is still the sort of number one preferred type of event to go to. So we also obviously touched on expected safety elements of events now with everything that's happened. So I'd say the top four elements people are expecting now is sanitising stations, crowd control, social distancing, and safe spaces for employees to engage with end users. See, we're going to take these findings and make sure that we take them into effect in the production of our events to make sure everyone stays safe and has a good event.
Yeah, that's good.
And then a couple of statements. Some people just said, can't wait to get back to face-to-face marketing and generate some leads. And someone asked that they would feel safe attending if the rules allow. So obviously if the rules allow, the events will go ahead. That person will feel safe, so that's good.
Fantastic. So it sounds to me like, you know, having not been able to kind of engage on a personal level, you know, over the last sort of 18 months or so, you know, businesses are actually, you know, more willing to kind of embrace that now than perhaps they might have been before. And hopefully, you know, that will translate into more footfall, you know, and more exhibitors at your events, which is kind of great for everybody, isn't it? You know, if there's that, you know, that kind of renewed enthusiasm for actually, you know, I guess it's one of those kind of scenarios where, you don't know what you've had until you kind of don't have it anymore. And
exactly, I was just thinking that.
Fantastic. Well, that all bodes really well. Tell us a little bit about Construction Expo, some of the kind of detail behind that. What's kind of going on there in October?
Sure. So, yes, for the Kent Construction Expo, it's on the 7th of October at the Kent Event Centre. So it's an exhibition and a conference that runs on one day. With the keynote speaker, who is Heath from Oliver Heath Design, and he's going to be talking about valuing and implementing health and wellbeing in the built environment.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of other topics that will be discussed on the day. We've got R&D in the construction industry, we've bouncing back from COVID, we've got sustainable innovation, an update on legal and regulatory issues
mm-hmm.
pertinent to the construction sector,
mm-hmm.
And intelligent manufacturing supply chain informatics. So those are just a few of the titles we've got mm-hmm. in the speaking program that people will be able to book to attend on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've also got a gala dinner that evening, sponsored by Will Mott Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And our after dinner speaker is Angela Barnes, who is a comedian, and I believe she's from Maidstone.
Oh.
We've got a Kent gal joining, mm-hmm. which is great.
Fabulous. Good. And is there a breakfast as well? There's normally a breakfast that kicks the whole thing off.
There is. We've got a networking breakfast on the morning of the event, mm-hmm. so that's from about 7:30. So it's a long day, but yeah. loads of networking opportunities for people to attend and generate some leads and some networking.
Perfect. Have you got any exhibitor space left, or is it all booked up now?
We've got a few stands left, mm-hmm. but really a few. So if anyone listening is interested, obviously please do get in touch. I'll give my contact info again.
Yeah.
But the floor plan is looking great. So I'm really pleased. It's looking to be a really, really good event.
Fantastic. Good. And you've got lots of round tables being hosted during the day as well, so people can kind of drop in on those and kind of take part, or at least, you know, listen in on those as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So the round table sessions are run alongside the speaking program,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are hosted by the exhibitors themselves. So again, great networking. And it's like an informal discussion, really. So the host will have a topic for you guys to discuss, and it's an open floor, really. So mm-hmm. that's really good for sort of exchanging opinions and things like that.
Fantastic. Well, as you say, it's been a very interesting year for the construction industry. You know, it's sort of one of the very few industries that's been allowed to continue to kind of trade normally mm-hmm. during an incredibly busy period of kind of new home building and infrastructure kind of projects. So that's really interesting, and very much sort of under the spotlight as well at the moment in terms of sustainability and building, zero carbon homes moving forwards and things like that. So it's good to hear that there's some of that on the agenda as well. So I'll certainly be looking forward to that. So, so that's a date for the diary. How can people, it's free to attend, obviously. So what's the best way for people to kind of register their place and kind of book in for that?
The best way to do that is just to go to the website. So mm-hmm. it's kentconstructionexpo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you just fill in a short form with your details, and then you pick up your badge the morning of the event.
Fantastic. And if I want to inquire about exhibition space or have a conversation with you, I can do that through the website as well, presumably?
Yeah, so my details are on the website. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Twitter. Emily Taylor Rev is my handle.
Mm-hmm.
So, many ways to get in touch, but my contact details are all on the event website.
Okay, brilliant. Quick shout out for Business Vision Live, which is now 2022, so a 3-year holiday for Business Vision Live. But tell us about the date you've got in the diary for that, Emily.
Yep, so that one is the 11th of May, 2022. Mm-hmm. So get that one in your diary because, like you say, with a 3-year holiday, I think people are going to be itching to get back on site. And seeing everyone again. So that's a general business-to-business event. So uh-huh. we've got a broad range of companies coming along to exhibit uh-huh. from Kent and the South East.
Fantastic, good. So always advisable to get your space booked early for that if you want to be in a particular position, I guess, ultimately as well. So it's always kind of, and I guess you've got some, in the unlikely event that it needs to be postponed again or that any of your events need to be postponed, I'm assuming you have quite favourable kind of booking terms for exhibitors, that enables them to obviously, get a refund, in a kind of worst case scenario.
Yeah, we're human too. We understand that it's been difficult for everyone.
Mm.
Our normal T's and C's aren't always applicable with postponement of events and stuff, but it's definitely something that we can sort of talk about. Yeah. I much prefer people to just sort of, you know, give me a call.
Yeah.
We can talk it through. Like I said, we're only human, so we can definitely come to some sort of arrangement to benefit everyone involved.
Good, good, good. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you on today, Emily, and it's so nice to speak to you again about doing business, which is, you know, which is fabulous. We are, obviously, it sounds like everybody's genuinely excited about getting out there again, you know, coming to your wonderful expos and taking part and just kind of meeting people and doing business, you know, in that kind of face-to-face environment again. So it all bodes really, really well for you. And I wish you all the success for Kent Construction Expo, which will be upon us in no time. October, it sounds like it's a long way off, but you know, once we're through the summer, you know, we'll be kind of thinking about that. So it's really exciting, really looking forward to that. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure for us as well. Do keep us in the loop in terms of, you know, all the kind of exciting developments with regard to speakers and agendas at both of those expos. But we look forward to kind of seeing you face to face properly in October. And really looking forward to that, Emily. Brilliant.
No, seeing you on site.
Fantastic. Great. Well, for now, I think that's everything. I think we've kind of covered everything off. So thanks for joining us. And we'll catch up with you again in the very near future.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Emily. Take care.
Bye.
Well, sadly, that brings us to the end of another BizConnect radio show today. Thank you so much for your company, and also a huge thank you to our wonderful guest today, Vicky Thurley from Kent Space, Ashford, Ebbsfleet, and also Chatham, and also Emily Taylor from Revolution Events. And we're really looking forward to being able to attend Kent Construction Expo in October, and also hopefully Business Vision Live next May. Can't believe that'll be 3 years since we attended the last one there. But all that remains for me to say is once again, thank you for listening in, and we will be back on the 5th of July, Monday the 5th of July, with two more fabulous guests. But in the meantime, thank you very much, and bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.